Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, November 27th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this brief break for non-members, a WWE Starrcade discussion with Johnny Fairplay, who attended the show on Saturday in Greensboro, North Carolina. Join me tonight for live coverage of WWE Raw as the show airs on USA Network 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. The .NET members will hear my audio review of WWE Raw later on this evening. They are also going to hear my Q&A audio show, most likely today. I think we'll have enough time to get that in. And if you are interested in membership, very simple. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, click into our sign-up area, and you'll find three different pricing options. Choose the one that works best for you, and get on board to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. With the business out of the way, Johnny Fairplay, you were there, WWE Starrcade. I guess my first question is, I think we've talked about this, I don't remember, how many of the old versions of Starrcade did you attend?
In the 80s, I went to one, and then I went to at least one of the nine. I went to the one where the streak ended, Goldberg's streak ended in DC. I went to that. So at least two Starrcades.
With the cattle prod. Wow, you were there for that mess.
Oh, it stunk.
Yes, it did.
But I partied with all the guys at the BWI Marriott afterwards. So that was a good time. That was back in the fun days of wrestling.
When it came to that, yeah, I suppose. But you have lived in this area for quite a while. I mean, you've been to the Greensboro Coliseum over the years, and how did they do, just in general? We'll kind of go through a little bit more in more detail, but overall, was this a positive experience?
Overall, it was the best WWE house show I've ever been to in my entire life. No contest.
What made it special?
You wouldn't know it was WWE. I mean, it was it. You got well. We'll go back in time a little bit. I got there that afternoon. I was hoping to meet AJ before the show. I ended up meeting him afterwards, so we'll get to that. So, but I talked to. I'm friends with Lil Nate, Charles Robinson. So I talked to him for a while, and he informed me that they had bought two ring skirts, one on each side, that said Starrcade. So that was cool. They did the white ropes with the black ring post. I mean, it was all old school. I mean, there was nothing that had it. You know, it didn't have that WWE tinge to it whatsoever, and that was really cool. He was telling me that on the steel cage that they had elected to just do it old school, bring in the side panels one at a time, and do an intermission after all the other matches before the two main events, and that saved them $7,000.
Wow.
So that was a smart cost-cutting move. And it was funny because the ring announcer was like, "We're going to build a cage." And he looks up and it's just like, "The cage is coming from the ramp, brother." So that was funny. What else? They had sold 3,000 tickets as of 3 weeks ago, and then they added Ric Flair to the lineup, and there was at least 8,000 people, maybe 9,000, which for a Thanksgiving Saturday house show was unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said that's awesome. I'm happy the event did, you know, good numbers, and it just sounds like, you know, because you didn't know what to expect with this. Was it going to be, all right, here, we're going to call it Starrcade. We're going to have a couple of legends and some videos, but it's just going to be your standard WWE live event. It sounds like they actually went, it did some work and made this a memorable experience for everyone.
Yeah, all my social media for, you know, like local Facebook was, it ain't going to be Starrcade. WWF don't own Starrcade. And I'm just like, dude, I spent all day Sunday going, you're stupid if you missed it. So it was so much. I mean, like, I just don't, you know, like, if you don't know, sure, you can think that, but have it going in optimistic and say, you know, like, please don't screw this up, guys. You have a chance to do something special. And they exceeded those expectations a hundredfold. I mean, it was just, all right, so I go in. The first thing we do is go to the merch booth. It's like, okay, here comes Roman Reigns showcase, right?
Sure.
Nope, no Roman Reigns shirts. So that right there, that's a great show. No Roman Reigns.
Well, I mean, this was technically the SmackDown brand, I guess, with their
name. It doesn't. I've been to a SmackDown house show with Roman Reigns t-shirts, Jason Powell.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, yeah, no, they sell them. So, no, they I think they knew. So, I mean, from what I hear, I'm friends with security as well, and the heads up I got, let's see who the agents were.
While you're looking, were there any special edition, any type of special edition merchandise for this event?
Yeah, yeah, that was that. Well, that's what I'm about to get. That was the coolest part of anything. It was they had a shirt that said Starrcade 2017, and it was a old like the old poster layout, except it had the new mat. It still wasn't right. Like they've made so many changes to this lineup in the past 3 or 2 weeks, you know, since the Jinder Mahal thing, like right. The lineup changed daily. So they came close to the final card, but there was still like four matches still wrong.
Oh, wow. So, well, I remember at one point you were really excited because it was for at least, I don't know, a couple of days listed.
For one day.
One day, AJ Styles against Shinsuke Nakamura in a cage. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know that that's going to stick.
Yeah, yeah, no, I didn't get that. So then I talked to you the one day that was advertised. I was really excited.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, I'm not surprised they didn't. I mean, if it was just a standard match, cool, but a cage, it just didn't really make much sense. I mean, I totally get the disappointment, though. By all accounts, yeah. This was like. So, go ahead.
Here's the agents for Starrcade. D-Von, Jamie Noble, Dean Malenko, and Michael Hayes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it sounds like this was very much a Hayes production.
Yeah, so, and the line of the night from production was Jamie Noble screaming during the Natty Charlotte match, "Tell them to take it effing home." But he did not say effing.
Wow. Where were you going to hear this?
I didn't hear my friend security for the Greensboro Coliseum. He's at all Diamond Dan. So he used to be a enhancement talent for the old Crockett stuff. I think he might have done some WWE stuff, WWF stuff as well.
So he overheard this backstage. It wasn't like it was in front of everyone.
No. They have the agents on the side now. The side towards the back of the house show Titantron thing.
I see. Okay. So maybe yeah, they're some all fans out there heard now. This.
I'm sure fans heard.
Okay.
I mean, like, it was so, like, everything was very relaxed. I mean, like, the first match is Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. Arn Anderson's the special enforcer. Ziggler loses. Ziggler plays dead. He's not leaving until he's Charles Robinson. I'll send you a picture and you can tweet it. Charles Robinson had to carry him to the back. So Bruce claims that was payback for taking a picture with me earlier with the Bullet Club t-shirt.
Bruce Mitchell from PWTorch.com, and I did listen. Yeah. He had a member exclusive update discussing this same event. I know you guys attended the show together.
Well, you wouldn't think from listening to these two reviews, because I remember everything. He didn't.
Ouch, wow. Well, he's getting a little older, you know, Johnny.
He is. He's an old man. He has a video of Arn Anderson doing the spine buster, and it's sideways. And he goes, well, you can turn your phone sideways. It's like, no, you can't, old man.
You know, I got to admit, I can relate. So I sympathize with Bruce on that one. I know all your kids are going, wow, what an idiot. But yeah, I kind of am anyway. But that was the big moment here, was Arn Anderson performing a spine buster. It's been all over the place. People can see that video. It doesn't even have to be sideways. It depends on where you look, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
it started the shows. All right. So I go. So they have the new shirt, and it says, you know, Starrcade 2017 with the most up-to-date lineup at the time of printing. And then on the back, it says Starrcade 2017. I was there. And then I was like, man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But beside that, they had a Starrcade 1983 shirt. And it says a Starrcade 83, a Flair for the Gold. It had Flair, Harley Race. And at the bottom, it says and special attraction dog collar match with Rowdy Roddy Piper. And then on the back, it had the date. And I was just like, I got to get the Starrcade 83 shirt.
No mention of the hammer? Wasn't it Piper and Valentine and that dog?
It was, but they were not. It was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, okay.
Well, so that's what the original poster was, and it was, I mean,
that's like, why I see.
And my friend my friend has looked online since. They are not offering it on WWEshop.com. So this was a just for that show exclusive. They didn't have, like, I wear a size small, and they were just like, we only have medium, and we have a limited number, and blah, blah, blah. And they had a poster that they redid the poster from Starrcade 83, and they had Flair sign those. So... well, it was, I mean, it was just special. So then the show starts. You go and you
really
see
quick here, because I think this is a question most people are going to want to know. I don't know the answer. Were there any cameras filming this? Is there any chance this shows up, even a rough cut on the network?
They had two cameras, but like I know the camera crew. I'm friends with them. It was none of the regular camera crew. It's like the people that go to like the NXT shows and stuff like that record them just to have them in case somebody dies, I think.
Okay, so no,
or possibly just to use for, you know, for the website. They could have been recording for that, but no, there was cameras going. There were two cameras, but they were not your big camera. They were the small HD cameras that they'll probably all eventually switch to anyways instead of the big cameras.
So no hard camera.
No. Okay. That's what made. I mean, like, once we said, all right, so Bruce Mitchell from Pro Wrestling Torch, he's known for Front Row Section D. Like, you know, that was the name of his column for the Torch.
Right.
That was the name of John Hitchcock's book. You know, like, that's what they were known for. You go back and watch all. So we look. I get my tickets. I look, fifth row, Section D, and I'm like,
wow.
Bruce, you're welcome. And like, he was almost ready to tear up. He was just like, man. And then we turn around and look, you know, hard camera side, there's not a hard camera, and there is someone in every single one of those seats.
Good. So
and not
much
family.
A full lower bowl.
Lower bowl completely filled, and then the upper bowl. As I said, it was 3,000 people, 3,000 tickets sold. I mean, there was complete sections available 3 weeks ago. And then they added Ric Flair, and then it was last I heard, at least 8,000 sold, possibly creeping into 9,000.
That's great. So Arn delivers the spine buster.
Well, hold on. Prior to that, so he's in our seats, and it's like it's 7 o'clock or 7:30 bell time, and they go Starrcade, born in the care, and there's like they do like a 5-minute video on the big video wall, and like I mean that's enough to bring you to tears. So then it's time for the first match, Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler, and they had these old school like pixelated video walls from like 1985 that were so freaking cool. I mean so the first was Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler, and then like in the top corner like so horribly done, you know, Enforcer Arn Anderson. And then, like, the next one was, like, Dustin Rhodes versus Dash. Like, he didn't even have a last name. It was, like, so old school, you know?
Well, I noticed that in the ad. I don't know if he's lost his last name, if they're just going Dash and Dawson, because even, like, the advertising for the show, he was listed as Dash. But,
okay,
now we're getting to it. No more
interruption. Yeah.
The first match, Arn Anderson delivers that spine buster. Roode gets the win out off the glorious DDT. You know, it's like right out of the gate, it's like, wow, Arn Anderson, that wasn't advertised. That is cool. Did this happen too soon?
No. And here's the big thing that Bruce dropped the ball on his review. So Arn gives a spine buster. He powders back to the corner. You know, Bobby Roode feeds up or loads up for the glorious. Dolph feeds to him, gives him the glorious DDT. 1, 2, 3. Arn grabs the mic and walks over and stands over top of Dolph Ziggler and goes, "Welcome to Horseman Country."
Ooh,
that
nice.
Was a line. Like, I mean, they're like the, everyone could have left right there and been happy.
Well, that's why I was like, did it happen a little too? But it also gets the show off to a really good start.
Just set the tone for the greatest house show of all time.
Second match, you get Rusev, Mike Kanellis, and the Bludgeon Brothers and the Colognes beating Breezango, Sin Cara, The Ascension, Ty Dillinger. A shout-out to .NET reader Derek Zhu, who was nice enough to pass along the updates as they happened on Saturday night. I don't want to forget that. So this is the first match where it's like, okay, this is a WWE house show match, right?
Yes, in that Rusev the heel was the most over babyface in the entire match. Yeah. that was a reminder I was watching WWE 2017.
How were the Bludgeon Brothers treated?
Good, not great. I mean, they, like, as Bruce mentioned on his report of it, like, you know, they had to sit, like, they're supposed to be these, you know, new monster heels. Why would they patiently wait on the ring apron? you know, for a tag or whatever. So eventually they lost their patience and they beat up it. Like Rusev like left before they could get to him, but they beat up everybody, heels and faces, and won. And that was good. That's what needed to happen.
Naomi beats Tamina, who had Lana in the corner. Anything to this?
Well, I mean, this is one of those deals where Tamina needed to be there because Jimmy Snuka. So, yeah, I mean, like the pretty much everyone had like a throwback, like the Colognes were in the 12-man tag because the first Starrcade Carlos Colon was wrestled.
Now, do you think it was intentional, or this would have been the lineup if this were just
No, but I think everything was done for a reason.
Okay.
There, where were they gonna? You know, there was a place to mention it, and they didn't need to. You know, it was if you knew your stuff, you're just like, oh man, the Colognes are here. So you know, Carlos Colon was in the first Starrcade. You know, Tamina's here. You know, Jimmy Snuka was in the first Starrcade.
Then you get the Dusty Rhodes tribute video package. I assume well done.
Yeah. I mean, once again, close to tears. I mean, I've been to so many matches there. I was fortunate enough to work with Dusty in TNA. I mean, I considered him a friend, and I'm friends with Dustin. I mean, you know, like Dustin and I have, you know, remained friends over the years, and I actually saw him at the Raw that I attended in Portland, you know, what, 2 months ago or a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
They do the Dusty tribute video, Wilder or Dustin or Goldust music plays, and you're like, you know, you could have, you know, like if only Cody Rhodes wouldn't have showed up outside of Anaheim, we would, you know, we would have gotten Dustin Rhodes, but the Bullet Club ruined everything, even Jimmy Jacobs' job. So, but they play Goldust music. I mean, only for like a second, just to kind of give you the frame of reference that, hey, this is Gold. And then he's wearing the robe. You can't see his face. Drops the robe. It's the natural Dustin Rhodes. And they play that horrific song that I don't think I've ever popped for a song more in my entire life than hearing the natural Dustin Rhodes.
Was this the best Dustin Rhodes has been received in the Greensboro Coliseum, perhaps?
Oh God, yeah! I remember being there and yelling, you know, "Your daddy's Dick Murdoch," and him easily hearing me.
Well, and I guess I should rephrase because he's been there a lot over the years. But is this the best the natural Dustin Rhodes has been received in this venue?
Yeah, easily. I mean, because it was so. I mean, like you know, people give Ric Flair the credit for Starrcade. It was Dusty. Well, I mean, I guess it was technically Hoss Funk, Dory Funk Jr. But I mean, Dusty named it. It was, you know, Starrcade is the thing that Dusty Rhodes made. So and I think, like as Bruce mentioned on his report, there wasn't a lot of kids at this thing. So it was, you know, the people. It was for me and you who grew up, you know, kids, you know, like, you know, man, Starrcade, all right. And just like, hey, Starrcade's coming, let's check it out.
Right.
I think that's who this was for. So, I mean, there were lots of Bullet Club shirts in the crowd, but I think the people that know the Bullet Club also do their homework and know the other stuff too.
Yeah, fair enough. So Dustin goes over in this match.
Well, hold on. So Dustin comes out first, and then Dash Wilder comes out, and he gets greeted with some a pretty loud contingent of FTR chants.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that gives you an idea of how cool, how, you know, like into it. I mean, like, smart crowd, really smart crowd. So almost every pinfall is a 1-2 sweet, almost every single pinfall.
Oh, man. Well, and I should back up. You mentioned Dory Funk Jr. For those who don't know that reference, he was actually the booker of the first Starrcade, but it was a Dusty Rhodes creation, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Dustin cuts a promo about his father after the match as well, right?
What's that?
Did Dustin? Our correspondent said he cut an emotional promo afterward about Starrcade.
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh no. He won his match, and afterwards he was just like, "I just want to say I love my daddy." And oh my, I know I cried. That's, I know he cried. I know. I mean, because as I said, Dusty was a friend. Dustin's a friend. It was a really, really cool moment. And, you know, and like, you know, my friends and I, you know, were arguing before the show. Just like, man, they're so stupid. This should be on the network. You know, and this is before we saw any. And then we're sitting there. You know what? We're just like, you know, I'm glad it was on network. Should have been there, man. Should have bought a ticket. Should have gone to Greensboro.
Fair enough. Shinsuke Nakamura beats Baron Corbin by DQ U.S. title match. Your thoughts on this one?
Prior to the match, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, they do a Steamboat video package. He's considered one of the greatest U.S. champions ever. And so he came out prior to this match, and he gave an awesome speech. He was just like, I haven't been in this building since they raised the roof. And if you go back, you know, me and Ric Flair, we raised the roof here. Me and Jay Youngblood versus Canoodles, we raised the roof. Now I see why they raised the roof. Pretty good idea, Greensboro Coliseum. He's like, man, this place is beautiful. And then Shinsuke's music plays. He comes down. People are singing along. It's great. Big star reaction. And then, you know, the music stops, and he goes straight to Steamboat. He bows. And, I mean, it's a moment. I mean, like, you know, like, I guess they're both Asian. But, you know, there was something more to it, and it was really cool.
Awesome. Then we get the Hardys coming out. They introduced the Rock and Roll Express. How were Ricky and Robert, I guess, to start with?
Ricky did the talking, much like 1986.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, right? I think Robert was supposed to, and I think Ricky went on and said what he had to say, and he just gave the mic back to the ring announcer. So have you heard the Rock and Roll Express dog story?
I don't believe so.
Well, I attempted to tell the story to Jeff Hardy later, and his wife finished with the punchline. So I was like, wow. So now there's a story back in the day where, you know, Ricky and Robert were hanging out, I think at Robert's house, and the dog was sitting there licking himself in the corner, and Ricky goes, man, I wish I could do that. And Robert goes, you better not. That dog's going to bite you.
Wow. Were you disappointed yep. these guys didn't get in the ring? I believe at one point they were advertised as doing
They so. Were advertised to go against the Good Brothers, the club. And, I was disappointed. But, I mean, I've seen them work recently. There is no reason for them to be working.
Sure, yeah. And Hardy's well-received. I think Jeff was in a sling from his shoulder surgery.
Jeff was in a sling. Actually, Jeff took the sling off to dance. So the New Day comes out next, and they have like a the New Day does the New Day dance, and then Matt Hardy does, and like he like grabs the top rope and attempts to twerk. And then Ricky starts doing the dance. And then Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens' music comes on to end the fun. They don't like fun. They don't like anybody to have fun. So it was great. So but Jeff had taken off his sling to dance there, and he was when I saw him perform afterwards, he wasn't wearing a sling, and his wife was like, he's gonna complain all day tomorrow. I shouldn't have taken off my sling. And and I talked to her, and I quoted her, and he was just like, yeah, it hurts bad. So if you're performing, you want to give it all you got. Yeah. So, but he says he's still in some pain, and you know the goal is WrestleMania, but there's no guarantees.
Yeah, those can be tricky. That's for sure. It led to the match where the Usos beat New Day. It was Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods.
Yep.
Then it was also in the match, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, 4-way match. They retained the SmackDown tag titles. I don't know how widespread, but I did have somebody email me that day going, hey, there's a rumor that that Owens and Zayn win the tag titles on this show. And I'm like, well, I mean, normally it's like if it's a house show, I'm just like, hey, that ain't happening. But it's like, yeah, I guess you never say never. Did you have your hopes up for this match? Was this kind of the last chance you thought, we might get a title change on this show?
No. the rumor was Jinder was going to beat AJ there, and I was like, no, he ain't.
No.
And my favorite was, as we were walking in, some guy, he goes, it's Starrcade, Sting's going to be here. And I go, it's Sting! So, yes, I was screaming at Sting, Tony Schiavone style, throughout the night. But no Sting, no title changes, nor did I expect. I expected, if they hadn't have done the title change with Charlotte prior to Survivor Series, I expected that.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, so it was what it was.
Then we get the Ric Flair tribute video, and he comes out, and take it from there.
Yeah, he is pretty funny because they're you know, he comes out greeted with a million woos, and he is like, "I've already cried three times today. I'm trying not to do a fourth." And then everyone, like, you know, started chanting, "Thank you, Rick," and is like, "Uh oh, here comes number four." And he was like, "It's been so great." He was like, you know, I got to see Ricky Steamboat in the back and Arn Anderson. And most important, he goes, "You guys aren't going to see him, but he's here." He goes, "The first man to come visit me in the hospital when I almost died." And he goes, "That's Michael Hayes." And he was like, "Thank you so much for making all this special." And he goes, "I just want to say one thing. I love my daughter."
Nice.
So it was really cool. I mean,
I assume we got the fourth round of tears from Rick.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Appropriate. Did he hold up the four fingers for it at least?
Yeah, yeah. That used to be four more rum and cokes. I was always under the impression
that's
of
true. But, yeah.
So, but no, he was. I think a lot of, unfortunately, and fortunately, I just depends on, you know, how perverted you view it. I think a lot of people thought, and you know, that this was probably their last chance to see Ric Flair in person, and they wanted to be there to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Hopefully there's many more, but absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just when it comes to a lot of these legends, you can't take that for granted. How did he look physically?
The weakest you've ever seen him. So
compared to the interview that he did post health issue in the documentary?
Weak. I mean, he looks the weakest he's ever looked. So, but happy.
Good.
He looks happy. So, I mean, I am glad I went. So that's, I mean, I love Ric Flair. So, you know, and despite him never be, I would have taken Ric Flair as my dad in a heartbeat. So that's just me. So, but my favorite part. So we have Charlotte comes out. Ric Flair did all this from the ramp, and he never came down the ramp at all. And so so Charlotte goes down the ramp, and she it's her and Natalya, and the bell rings, and I yell, "Natty forgot to feed her cats."
Oh man!
And she goes, "Shut your mouth! I fed my cats."
Nice.
So and that prompted many people. That prompted people on the count. And so when someone go for a count, it's like 1, 2, pause for two paws.
Okay, her cat. Yeah.
Yeah. So and lots of people, you know, yelling. You know, Natty doesn't change her kitty litter. I later yelled, "I heard that Natty gives her cats dog food."
So she was having some fun with it, though.
Yeah, she's all in. I mean, you know, Natty's Natty. I love her. I think they work really hard to give her fake storylines on Total Divas, but I think she's great.
Quality match.
Yeah, yeah. They, I mean, Bruce felt she that Charlotte's still a little green, but I thought it was fine. I mean, I thought it was a great match.
And then main event time. I don't think we're leaving anything out. AJ Styles defeats Jinder Mahal in a cage match. I assume the Singh brothers were present.
The Singh brothers were there. One of the Singh brothers was in the front seat. He drove in Jinder in the passenger. I guess the other Singh brother was in the was sleeping in the back, maybe? I don't know. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens got there. Sami Zayn was driving. He was doing donuts in the parking lot because, like, the security guard is like, "You can't go that way." So that was pretty fun. So, but the match was good. Like, the entire time, the Singh brothers jaw-jacking with the crowd. Every time AJ went to escape, they'd come in the ring with chairs and stuff. And that, you know, like, once again, like, the refs were having so much, they'd throw their hands up. They're like, "What do I do?" You know? And they're not allowed to have names. They're not allowed to, you know, you're not there, you know? And it was, you know, "I'm a dumb referee from the 80s. What?" You know? So everyone had so much fun, you know, with that. And, there was a point where Jinder goes to climb out of the cage and give, I'll send you a pic if you want. He gives the Bullet Club, too sweet. And whoa, you want to talk heat, brother? That was not appreciated.
Funny.
So I did talk to AJ about the too sweet after the show. I guess we'll wrap up this part real quick. So AJ won. He left later. You know, Jinder beat up the Singh brothers, and you know, and we headed towards the parking lot. So, but talked with AJ after, and told him to stop rest. What's up?
You cut out for a second. You said you were talking with AJ after.
Yeah, so I spoke with AJ afterwards, and I told him, stop wrestling Brock Lesnar. I was like, I told him, first he was like, he was yelling, he goes, fair play, where, can you not hear from that concussion I gave you? I was like, yeah, I can. And and I had my friends with me. He's just like, y'all know if I had power bombed Fair Play 2 inches to the left, we wouldn't have to deal with Fair Play ever again. I was like, yeah, thanks,
so
AJ.
Because
there was a microphone in the way to power bomb me.
Oh, man.
What's that?
We were that close, AJ.
Yeah, that close. So anyway, so I told him stop wrestling Brock Lesnar, and he's like, no, it was a night off. If Brock likes you, he's good to you. He just looks good.
Yeah, why do you want him to stop wrestling Lesnar? That was a fun match.
Because I thought he was going to kill my friend.
Well,
despite AJ purposely giving me a concussion and possibly trying to kill me, I still consider him a friend of mine. I don't want bad things to happen to my friend. So he said he doesn't foresee any more matchups with Brock in his future. However, he would love it. He said it was a night off. It was so much fun.
Very cool. And it sounds like this was just a great event overall to attend in person. Are you optimistic this becomes an annual Thanksgiving Saturday night event?
Oh, it will. It's a done deal. Oh, well, finishing up with AJ real quick. So, we all talked. So some fans saw that AJ was there. So of course, I mean, they're running and they're like, you know, they're like, AJ, we think the one sweet. And he's just like, I think the one sweet kind of sucks. He's like, I don't get it. He's like, and if anybody wants to sue somebody about the two sweet, NC State Wolfpack should be suing everybody. And I was like, actually, AJ, Bret Hart created the Turkish Wolf. That's from all sources that I've pieced together. It was a European tour. He was friends with the Click back then, and he created the Turkish Wolf hand sign that we now know is too sweet. The Click later took it. Bret stopped being cool, so you know they stopped doing it with him. And then the NWO did it, and so but the NC State Wolfpack took it from them. So, but yeah. So if anybody wants to, if I'm the Young Bucks, I give Bret Hart a call. If he remembers, it's him. That's his gimmick.
Yeah, well, and the Click members, for those going, that's not, it was a Click thing. No, that really is, the Click guys will tell you that it was a Bret Hart thing. You can do, what is it, Turkish Wolf, you said?
Turkish Wolf, that's the gimmick.
Yeah, do a search for that online. You'll find stories about it. So that part is very true.
Afterwards, I went to go see Jeff Hardy perform at Blind Tiger. There was a select a small gathering of fans. It was a very intimate encounter, and Jeff did some Pearl Jam. He did some Alice in Chains. Jason, I'm sorry, I was gonna film that.
Nice,
and I did not. Thankfully. So I do. If you check my social media, I did tweet out and definitely on my Facebook and Instagram. I have two videos. He did Johnny Cash Hurt and then Stone Temple Pilots song. And he did a lot of he played. We got there after midnight. I mean, the show went from like 7:30 to like 11:30. We didn't get there until after midnight because we stopped to talk to AJ. But it went till 2 a.m. And then afterwards, he went. There was a line of the, like some people had the VIP thing, and that VIP experience was ruined because I was there talking with Jeff and interrupting every story.
Oh, no.
And then afterwards, everyone lined up, and he took pictures and signed autographs for every single person that wanted one.
Oh, very cool. And so, I mean, how close was the bar to the venue? You said it was pretty intimate. I mean, was it just it's not a very big bar, or just not very many people showed up?
Not very many people showed up. So it's like across the street from the college. There is no advertising for it. I mean, and that's the crazy thing because like I know the owner of the bar, and he was talking to Conrad and Bruce Pritchard about doing us something to wrestle with, and I think he was playing Jeff Hardy and Conrad against each other to see you know what he could get, and I think he went with Jeff Hardy because of the name value. But like Jeff just likes to do it for fun.
Yeah.
So like Jeff had the opportunity to tell the Greensboro Coliseum, hey, come across the street and see me. And it was like the best kept secret in Greensboro. Nobody knew.
Well, some of it's on the venue, too, for not having a big sign out front.
There's a sign, but it's not. I mean, like, it's one street. It's one street over from the Coliseum. So you don't see it if you're driving. You know, you have to go out of your way to see it.
I see. And so, okay, so you said you think there's a chance that they turn this into an annual event.
It's gotta. I mean, they're printing money.
What do you do next year? You know, as far to make it feel special.
Sting! Sting! Okay.
Well, and you could also kind of follow WrestleCade's lead, which is the first. That was, you know, they were the ones who kind of started running this area. As you know, you headlined the first couple of shows for them
as a
manager. And
first three. Not invited this year.
First three not invited this year. You tend to have that track record.
I do.
But no,
I'm sober now. What the hell?
wasn't it them, or maybe I'm getting confused again with the other convention, but I mean, either way, you could always do a Four Horsemen reunion, you know, God willing, if Rick's still healthy and everything, and for that matter, everyone involved is. You mentioned Sting. There's certainly things you can do, I think.
Buff Bagwell, brother. Come on. No, there's plenty of people. They should pick like three people every year. And I mean, I'm not holding out, you know, hope against hope for both Rhodes' next year. I think that, you know, with a situation like this, if it's not going to be on the network, you know, I could see Ring of Honor letting Cody Rhodes go for a day.
Yeah, why not?
You know, it's just like, you know, have the Rhodes brothers versus the Revival.
Yeah, I mean, there was all sorts of rumors that they were pursuing that at one point for this show. Not the Revival, because of
the
injury. Yeah, and you know, it didn't happen. I don't know if it was the Anaheim Bullet Club thing or what happened there. But
It was.
Okay.
It was.
So, yeah, I think there is more to do. What do you think about this being kind of a test run for themed house shows? I mean, is there a market? What's the one that comes to mind, I guess, you know the Southeast better than I do. If WWE kind of took this approach and advertised a Great American Bash tour in the summer months in the region, maybe not Greensboro, because you got to keep it special with Starrcade, would it sell more tickets? I mean, how do you think that would go?
Maybe. I mean, like you could call it the Great American Bash Tour and do like, you know, your Roanoke Virginias and your stuff like that, and you know, maybe and you know, and add like a couple legends, you know, Ricky Steamboat come out and wave or whatever. But I mean, I see it, you know, maybe a little bump, but I mean, I don't want them. I like the specialness of this.
Well, you do, yeah, but you're being a selfish SOB. What about all the other people?
Yeah, I feel like it waters down the product and it's not as special. So, I mean, I don't see it being the attraction that Starrcade, like, I think next year could be 10,000 people at Starrcade because of how special they made this. If they start doing that with, a watered down bash over the summer, then I don't think Starrcade's as special going into next year.
But if you're them, are you going to go, let's see, more money because we're running a similar concept in a lot of places, or just one show?
Yeah, probably. I mean, they probably I don't see that as even a possibility, even in the Southeast, because summer is about SummerSlam. And if you're going to a house show during the summer, you're going to the road to SummerSlam.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, and I even thought, like, could they do this up here for like an AWA kind of a theme show? And
Wrestle Rock, brother.
Yeah, well, I don't. Is Waylon Jennings still with us?
Well,
no, but I mean, just if you called it Super Clash or, you know, whatever, that's kind of the thing with the AWA. There's Wrestle Rock probably is the most memorable of the events as far as like the big name shows. They had a lot of big shows, but they just didn't name them. But
yeah, that was a Dustyism. That was Dusty's claim. You know, one of his, you know, many claims to fame is the marketing and the branding of the individual shows.
Up here it would be a little difficult because Nick Bockwinkel, Bobby Heenan no longer with us. They're not on great.
Yeah, you could have the Killer Bees.
It'd have to be the High Flyers.
I was gonna say you could have the High Flyers. Curtis Axel, whatever brand Curtis Axel's on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Sheik had an NLKC.
Baron von Raske, obviously.
Yeah, and but one of the issues is, like, it's not all that uncommon to see either one or both of the High Flyers make an appearance at an independent show. Baron von Raske has done a lot of that over the years.
But the video packages make it special. So, no, there's a way to do it.
Yeah, Road Warrior Animal. I mean, there's some people out there. I think you could do it. I don't think, just because of the people who are no longer with us, Vern and Nick and Bobby, I don't know that it could be done as well.
I think they could do a Starrcade in Atlanta next year, and if they don't want to do it in Greensboro.
Well, and so, hell, they could have done, had it not been for Anthem, they could have done Bound for Glory in Nashville this year. They were running Nashville the same night.
Yeah.
Hopefully that won't happen, all you Impact Wrestling fans. Well, any other thoughts on this show before we wrap this up? So much for the whole 2 for $20. I'm going to have to scrap that.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
Why did I say, do you feel like you learned a lot more listening to my version of actually what happened?
I think you both did a fine job. I'm just going to weasel out of this one.
Fair enough. So, no, as I said, I'm so glad I went, and you know, and I understand naysayers, you know, thinking that WWE has to WWE everything, but you know, I think, you know, while the boss is away, the kids will play, and Michael Hayes and the rest of the kids had a blast on Saturday.
And you mentioned your Twitter page where people can find some things related to this show. Why don't you mention that?
Yeah, at Johnny Fairplay, JonnyFairplay, no H in Johnny. You can also go to my website and order a t-shirt. I have Black Friday going until 6 p.m. Central Time today, 20% off if you're in the code Black Friday. And my website is JohnnyFairplay.com. We have a Blindside Bro Vince Russo-inspired shirt. We have a heel Johnny Fairplay shirt. She Died Dude, that looks like the Hulkamania shirt. So go to JohnnyFairplay.com. Leave an H out of my name and put a T on your back. I don't know how that really works. That's
what not bad. Not bad. I know you're going for the Bruce Pritchard play. Not bad.
Yeah. Thank you. So, no. And to the people that asked, they're like, Johnny Fairplay, I hear your new podcast where you talk Survivor at survivalofthefairest.com. That's survivalofthefairest.com. And those people say, hey, I love you on there. You and Conrad, you guys have a great show. I would love to hear you do a wrestling podcast. And my answer to them is, I'm on .net enough.
Until Conrad's like, hey, you want to do a wrestling podcast?
No. I'm good. This is more than enough. I mean, because I don't I have this thing called Netflix, Jason, and it's much better than Monday Night Raw and SmackDown most weeks. So I'm good.
Fair enough. And then so you normally host the show with Conrad Thompson, but we mentioned Bruce Pritchard. He joined you for a recent episode of Survival of the Fairest.
Sure. This past week we did a Survival of the Fairest Thanksgiving episode, and I have on Bruce Pritchard. We go over an hour. We have some Roddy Piper stories. We have if Vince McMahon were commentating Survivor, if he had Jeff Probst's job, you have, it's a squat challenge. They're squatting. God damn it.
I'd just like to see Vince wearing the the cargo shorts and the flip flops.
Oh God, yuck. I've been working on my bend. Can you tell?
On that note, everybody, thank you to Johnny for joining us today. Follow the brand online at Pro Wrestling Net on Twitter. And we would certainly appreciate it if you would take a moment and subscribe to our podcast and rate and review us on iTunes. Anything like that is helping spread the word about the site and the podcast. A big thanks to everyone who has already done that. And I will be by tomorrow with something. I don't even know yet. Coming off the holiday. I'll figure it out. Take care.